Janae Angola Jr., the podcast.
Woo, child. I know it is a complicated day with everything that's going on, the feelings, the emotions, everything that it brings up, it festers right now, but we will practice what we preach. We will do what we do, keep that same energy, uplift, stay together. So let's all take a breath and let's go. It's Janae Angola Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. Janae Ogumike and Mike Golick Jr. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us via the Goodyear hotline. Now, what I alluded to was what has transpired as hundreds of law enforcement officers have mobilized across Washington, D.C., the nation's capital, as thousands of supporters in response to the election result after the Georgia runoff have come together and sort of created some kind of chaos and action. And right now, first of all, on Janae Angola Jr., we pray that everyone is safe and everyone just has the mental, you know, sanity to just be able to make it through this moment. We know it's a lot to process, but I firmly believe that there is more good than bad. There is more hope than despair. And I hope that we can provide the energy you need to get through these trying moments right now. That is the direction that you, Golick Jr., that you and I really just sort of hold on to.
It is. And listen, a lot of this speaks to what we've been trying to highlight all summer when things came up relative to the way that black and brown bodies were treated in this country versus what we're seeing now in all this. It's a reminder that when athletes are standing up to talk about something, that when these instances happen, take note and take stock the next time an athlete takes a knee or has something to say on an issue, and you remember a day like today and ask yourself why you were so hard on the athletes who were just speaking up hoping to be heard in that spot versus so much of the ugliness that we have seen today.
Yeah, and when the athlete is doing it, the reason why we are here, fortunate and blessed with the platform as athletes ourselves to talk about it, is because it is the athlete doing it, and an athlete that goes out and competes and uses their media availability to push these messages, and it's our job to talk about it. And, you know, sometimes when you're a player, still here currently, be about it as well. Now, it's a hard, you know, transition, but we have to, just because this is what we do here. And I think the news of the day that we've started with, especially when it comes down to the Cleveland Browns, is at least a small version of good news on a really relatively tough day. Cleveland Browns head coach Kevin Stefanski says his team is full speed ahead, even though, you know, testing positive and having to conduct his practices virtually and not being able to, you know, be on the sidelines in the rematch versus the Steelers. And he said, quote, just got to put a plan together, go find a way to win. And so now this puts, you know, the Browns in a very, very difficult situation where a lot of people have already counted them as underdogs. Junior, I mean, what do you make of this entire situation? Your head coach having to work virtually, he's the play caller, he has this reinvigorated relationship now with Baker Mayfield. What do you make of the Browns situation right now?
I think it's unfortunate because what it creates is so many different ripple effects of a problem. I'll put it like this, Chinay. On an offensive line, you've got five players that need to see everything as one, that need to work together. And when you have a cohesive unit, a group that's worked together a lot, the beautiful part is even if you're all wrong, you can be wrong together and still make everybody right in that process because you've got continuity, because you've got cohesiveness. But let's say you have a right tackle that goes down. And now, instead of just subbing someone in, you have to move someone over and put someone else in. Now, you created a bunch of different issues in the chain of command. That's what the Cleveland Browns have going and working. And I think their biggest disadvantage is they had assistant coaches that were down last week. In addition to Kevin Stefanski, they've got a couple of their assistant and their position coaches that are going to be down because of the COVID-19 virus this week, in addition to those players. And so, not only do you have someone new up top calling the plays the way that Kevin Stefanski would have been in this game, but now that person is replaced by somebody else in their job who's going to do their job a little bit less good than they would have otherwise. It strains all the communication, and it creates a situation that Dan Orlovsky, our ESPN NFL analyst, when he joined us yesterday on Janae Angola Jr., said is just plain unfortunate.
You know, this is devastating. He's a great play caller. Play calling is not a science. It's an art. It's a feel. It's anticipation. I think they'll be okay in the first quarter. I think they'll script the whole first quarter, especially with third down situations. But you got 8 seconds to get your play call in between when the play's blown dead and the next snap to get the play in and out of your huddle. You got like 8 seconds as a play caller. So unless they script the whole game and Alex Van Pelt is absolutely out of his mind when it comes to the feel of the game, I just don't think there's any way that Cleveland. And that breaks my heart because I was going to pick them. I was going to take Cleveland. I don't think they can.
And Chinay, I hear Dan say that. I mean, is there anything you see at this point from a team in Cleveland who might have been a team people favored in this otherwise can somehow pull this off amidst all this chaos?
I just think it's a little bit too tall of a task. It's hard. And, you know, while I sort of bring up what Kevin Stefanski can and cannot do, because I think it's really fascinating for everyone to hear what he's able to do to prepare his team. And we just talked to Kimberly Martin, who said he's trying to push a message almost like a preacher in his congregation. If on ESPN Plus, we can put the odds up, because I think it'll be really interesting to see what the odds are in this matchup. What Kevin Stefanski can do, he can run meetings via video chat all week. He can monitor practice that way as well. On game day, and the odds are 32% right now, Cleveland, 68% Pittsburgh on ESPN Plus. You can watch us there, check us out there. On game day, he's allowed to communicate via phone or video chat until kickoff, but he can't contact anyone again until after the game, not even at halftime. And I feel like that is so tough. Can you imagine this season, the hurdles that you sort of have been trying to jump, and also talk about that steadying voice? And I sort of will make this comparison, Junior, to what we saw happen with the Lakers and Frank Vogel and them winning a championship in the bubble. A lot of people said, oh, you know, hiring Frank Vogel, why was this important? And everyone's like, oh, this is a guy that's just rock steady, even keeled. You have a lot of strong personalities on the team. You have new personalities on the team. You have superstars on the team like Anthony Davis and LeBron James. But having that calming voice, the one that just keeps reaffirming the message, we've got to play defense, we've got to do X, Y, or Z, that's what they needed when the pressure was on them the most. And that's sort of what Kevin Stefanski has been able to do in short amount of time with this Browns team. And so now I just really feel for him, because, you know, literally this is what you look forward to. You worked so hard to make this history for Cleveland, first time since 2002, and you can't even be there.
It really is. That force matters so much. And you know this. In a normal game, over the course of a normal season, you might be able to overcome that. But when you're in a spot you've never been before, you need as much that's familiar to you as possible. I can't tell you. I played with Zach Martin on the offensive line, who looks like he's going to be a Hall of Famer for the Cowboys right now. What a calming force it is to look across and know, I have the absolute best player on the field right there. No matter what, I can count on that guy to do his job and then some, and don't have to worry about it. For Baker Mayfield, especially, a guy who's had to ride the roller coaster so much this year, in the way he's talked about, him and Kevin Stefanski have found themselves in a groove and in a relationship where the player trusts the play caller in a way that is so difficult to replicate without the reps that they had to work hard to get through the course of the season. You know this, that time under task, that ability to go to work with the same person and learn, because they didn't have the chance to do that this offseason. Like, this is Kevin Stefanski's first year, and they won 11 games because they were able to work that on the fly.
Look, let me tell you, your girl was in the playoffs before the Connecticut Sun and for the Los Angeles Sparks. And when I was in the playoffs, no matter how much you prepare, Dan Orlovsky is correct. And that's why I love us all athletes talking about the locker room. You can scout, you can do all of the, you know, you can script as many plays as you want, but when it goes out there, it's literally just great players making better plays and reading the game themselves. And you want all of your people with you. Like you said, you want those five people going to war with you on the same page, even if it's on the wrong page. So, yeah, I guess this is where we bring up the participation trophy. Like, Cleveland, you've already won, even though this is a tough situation to walk into.
Yeah, this is like the much less happy Cleveland, this is for you, where you remind them they hadn't made the playoffs since 2002.
Right.
And this is still a major accomplishment. But, you know, that's not going to help in the immediacy, because now they're dealing with good team problems. When you win double-digit games, you get double-digit good win team problems.
Which is
a welcome respite, considering this was not too long ago where we were talking about opening fridges full of beer for them just winning a single game. So a lot has changed in Cleveland. We will see how much they can change going into this weekend. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance, protecting your business with specialized coverages for your commercial vehicles. More at progressivecommercial.com. Now, we have heard a few different groups, GMs, owners, speaking out about their quarterbacks. We have heard clarity about the situation, I believe, in Miami. We have heard uncertainty about the situation with Sam Darnold and the New York Jets. Coming up next, we get to hear more of the same old thing from Jerry about the Cowboys. We'll do that. It's Janae Angola Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Janae Angola Jr., the podcast.
Shout. A little gospel music. I feel like it's right on time. It's Janae Angola Jr. on ESPN Radio. Shout. Yeah. Streaming live on ESPN Plus. Janae Ogumike and Mike Golick Jr. Well, we need that in the spirit right now. We need the Holy Ghost and all that, all the above. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us via the Goodyear Hotline. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we have a Heisman winner in Devontae Smith, who got the hardware yesterday. But crazy enough, how does the best team in the country get even better. We will tell you exactly that in about 10 minutes. But
we will do that in about 10 minutes, Janae, but Cliff has something he needs to talk with you about.
Hold on. Shout.
Oh, God, did I say something weird?
You said shout to Kirk Franklin's stomp. You said...
No, I didn't say shout. I said stomp.
Junior, confirm with me. Did she...
You know what? We're going to need to do, Cliff. I'm going to buy you time. We're going to talk about Jerry Jones. You're going to go back and run the tape and find out if Chiney said shout or stomp during Kirk Franklin's stomp.
In fairness, I did say play brighter day, not stomp, but like, okay.
So, all right.
And I was just thinking about, look, do whatever you need to do.
We're
going to
go back. We're going to cut the tape on this one, Cliff. Like we said, we're going to distract people with Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys while you go to work in the lab here, Chiney. So this
whatever, man. It's okay. Let's just talk all the way until the heart out. All right. okay, so far, you know, it's been really funny. I've been tracking everything that we've been doing this week. And so far, we've had the Washington football team in conversations when Chase Young said that I want Tom Brady, right? We've also had the Eagles after the Nate Sudfeld situation, and now we have the Giants as well talking about the Eagles. We're going full circle, and in full NFC East fashion, not to be outdone here, Junior, here come the Cowboys, all right? The Cowboys. Now, the Dallas Cowboys, they're coming off of a very disappointing season, obviously, 6-10 season, where they've just won four games without Dak Prescott. And basically, we just heard from the owner and general manager, Jerry Jones, who made a lot of sound bites and made a lot of waves by acknowledging that Dak Prescott, you know, his quarterback, has the leverage. Yes, I said the owner and general manager telling us publicly that he might have the leverage in contract negotiations. Why don't you all just listen for yourself?
I don't know how you could have any more leverage. His evolving into an NFL quarterback has been nothing short of a perfect pitcher. And he has great ability in my mind to win games. And so he has all the things, as substantiated by what we've offered Zach. You wouldn't be offering Dak what's been offered him in the past had you not thought he was very special. The issue is, how do you come together? And we've got to get it together.
Okay. That was Jerry Jones speaking on Dak Prescott and how he has leverage in the contract negotiations. And I will just say this. As a member of the WNBPA, where our job was to provide the new collective bargaining agreement, which is the biggest deal that our league has ever seen, and sitting on the side of the players up against the WNBA and the NBPA, billion-dollar entity, in trying to advocate for our half, that is not how easy those things usually go. Let me just tell you that. So what is the irony for you, Junior, here, hearing that?
Hearing that is... You know what, Janae? This immediately reminded me of
what?
LeBron James.
Oh, God.
Because there was footage back in the day of LeBron James talking to Steph Curry at one of the first All-Star games Steph Curry ever made, before he was the greatest shooter of all time, before Golden State had gone on to become the dynasty that really threatened LeBron James. And I remember LeBron James was joking around there, talking about, man, why'd you have to give my guy Mario three hezzies up at the top there? This guy's a killer. He's gassing Steph up in there. You know why? Because he didn't think Steph was a threat at that point. It got real quiet after that. LeBron started to get real salty after that once it was MVPs, once it was Steph's marketing deals that were out in front of everything. And we saw LeBron got quiet, went back to work, but was very pointed about what he heard. Jerry Jones would not be publicly saying Dak Prescott has all this leverage if Dak Prescott really, in his mind, had all this leverage. Jerry Jones has been doing this for too damn long, and we've seen the way this saga with Dak Prescott has gone for too damn long to believe those words coming out of his mouth.
Yeah, I mean, nothing is to be believed, but what is the intention of even saying that? Well, like, I don't understand the point of even acknowledging that someone has the leverage when those conversations aren't even that, like, that's not even going to be meaningful to the discussion.
It sounds to me, Chiney, like what a lot of this has been. Because remember, a lot of this dispute hasn't been about money. It's been about the years on the contract and Dak wanting a shorter amount of years on the contract than Dallas is typically comfortable with. This is typically an organization, when you look back at Zach Martin, Tyron Smith, some of the big deals they've signed recently, they tend to be longer term. Dallas wants to spread out this hit over a longer amount of years when they do these deals, and Dak hasn't been about that with this team, which, again, if this was a quarterback that this franchise truly valued, I don't think would be an issue, but they don't love him like that. They've made it abundantly clear with the way they've gone about this. So what this seems to me is more of what we've seen all along is Jerry and the Cowboys saying, we have offered him a lot of money. He's got all this leverage, and so what's that say? What's that tell the public right now? Jerry's acknowledging this, so clearly if something doesn't get done, it must be Dak's fault in this, right? He's got all this leverage. We can't possibly give him enough in this process to satisfy him because he's got all this leverage. Setting it up, I think, for eventually, if this gets to a place where a deal can't get done again, they can turn around and say, well, look, we gave all we can. They'll leak some numbers, and everyone will go back to blaming Dak.
And this is why I want to ask everyone on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed, at Chiney, C-H-I-N-E-Y, at Mike Golick Jr., especially the people in my great state of Texas. Again, I told you I love my Houston Texans, but I claim all of Texas as my teams because we all are working hard, and we might as well claim each other's championships because those are as hard to get. And so, we're like, what if you're a Cowboys fan, if you're part of Cowboys Nation and the Faithful America's team and all that, what do you want? What do you actually want? Hit us up your replies, because I feel like the public is not naive enough to hear that and think, oh, yeah, he's doing this to make sure that Dak, you know, if there's a problem here, like, it's not our fault. Like, a lot of the, we've all been seeing the how his inability to secure some kind of relationship, at least when it comes to contractually, because everything else on the field, Dak has been his guy, right? Like, the stuff that happens off the field, especially with the contract, that's where it really matters most. I feel like that sort of makes us seem naive in that moment, Junior.
It does, and I think in this instance, it's a good time to remind everybody that love is a verb, right? Love is an action word. He can say all these nice things about Dak Prescott, but when it comes time to show me that you love me, to act in that way, we have still yet to see that with the Dallas Cowboys, requisite to what we expect with quarterbacks. Now, when it comes to love around here, obviously, Chiney, I love you, care about you as my friend and co-host here on the show.
I have another question for you.
We can't get to that question.
Who has the leverage, in your opinion?
We don't have time for that question, unfortunately, as Chiney tries to filibuster in this spot, because when we came back into this segment, we played Stomp by Kirk Franklin, and Chiney claims that she was shouting Stomp during the course of that song. It was disputed by Cliff and Billy, who are producing and helping produce this show today. And so we went back to the tape to find out if Chiney was screaming Shout or Stomp during this song. Cliff, do we have the clip?
Music. I feel like it's right on time. It's Chiney and Golick Jr. on ESPN Radio. Shout. Yeah. Excuse me. Streaming live on ESPN Plus. Chiney Ogwumike and Mike Golick Jr. Well, we need that in the spirit right now. We need the Holy Ghost and all that, all the above. I didn't hear anything. Did you hear anything?
Oh, really? You didn't hear anything? Do we need to play it again?
Music. Yeah, sure. I feel like it's right on time. It's Chiney and Golick Jr. on ESPN Radio. Shout. Yeah.
Excuse me. Sorry.
Streaming live on ESPN Plus. Chiney Ogwumike and Mike Golick Jr.
I didn't hear anything.
Well, we need that in the spirit right now. We need the Holy Ghost and all that, all the above.
Yeah.
Did you hear anything?
You're foul, bro.
That's everyone in the room, Billy, Cliff, we're all in agreement. We heard a shout there.
No,
there's no
I
disputing
didn't hear
this.
That. What? Oh, God. Not my best moment.
It is. It's a tough one to come back from, Chiney.
Can I recover myself?
Here we go. You ready?
Stop. Hey. Make me my head. Let's go. Stop. Yeah. Redemption. Today is all about redemption. Thanks, y'all. I love y'all.
Redemption is spelled C-H-I-N-E-Y today on Chiney and Golick Jr. Again, we are trying to provide this levity because we know there are far more serious things going on in the world right now. And obviously, all eyes have been on our nation's capital today. Several NBA head coaches have shared their thoughts, and so we will get to some of those as the world looks that way, and we'll do it next. It's Chiney and Golick Jr.
Brighter day, Cliff.
Here on ESPN Radio.
Chiney and Golick Jr., the podcast.
We have talked so much about this week's action, the NFL, everything going down with college football, especially with the Heisman a day after that. But some moments, the moments like we are in right now in America, are much bigger than that. It's Chiney and Golick Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live on ESPN Plus. Chiney Ogwumike, Mike Golick Jr. holding it down here for you on a very, very difficult day, but we are here nonetheless. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us via the Goodyear Hotline. Now, today, hundreds of law enforcement officers have mobilized across Washington, D.C., the nation's capital, as thousands of the president's supporters have congregated and created a quite chaotic scene in response to the election result after the Georgia runoff. This is all happening now. And, Junior, you know, we talked about, you know, earlier today, and the sound was so strong, the sound we heard from Trevor Lawrence, Clemson quarterback, who highlighted how important it is to raise your voice to the causes that matter to you and your loved ones, including those who you share the same locker room with. Now, more voices have joined the fold, this time from the NBA. Now, today, the Philadelphia 76ers and the Washington Wizards are set to play tonight, and our own Adrian Wojnarowski reported that there's been no formal discussion between the NBA and the MBPA on postponing any of the league's 11 games tonight. tonight, sources tell ESPN. So the Wizards and the 76ers are still set to play. But one of the leading voices, head coach of the 76ers, Doc Rivers, one of the leading voices in the league who moved so many people during the bubble using his words for action and activism, was back at the podium today ahead of the game talking about how this all affects the players.
This is a tough one today because, you know, we've been all at home watching TV, and it's such an individual emotion, you know, and it's almost what I was saying earlier, you know, as an older black male, I've seen police dogs being unleashed on people. And then you see the day where there's nothing. And so that's an emotion that I have, right? You know, Tobias and those guys probably don't have that emotion. So, you know, and I don't know how many guys even watching TV today. You know, you just don't know, but you know it's going to be the talk for both teams. You know, Washington, just think about them. It's where they live right now. So they have a lot on their plate, probably worried about public safety of their families. So this is a tough one tonight, I got to tell you. And we'll see how it turns out.
That was Doc Rivers, the head coach of the Philadelphia 76ers, ahead of their game tonight against the Washington Wizards. And on the other side of the podium was Scott Brooks, head coach of the Wizards. And this was his reaction to what happened at the Capitol.
Yeah, I mean, there's on many different fronts. It's sad, definitely sad. We should be better than this. If what I see, the videos, it's disgusting. See a lot of these are, it's a special place. And I just hope that everybody from there and our fans, everybody's safe. This should not be allowed. It's unacceptable. It's America's capital. Should not be able to do what I saw on video. It's disgusting. It's embarrassing. It should never happen.
Chenangle Jr. here on ESPN Radio. And Jr., that was Scott Brooks, the Washington Wizards head coach. We just heard from Doc Rivers, the 76ers head coach, not talking about sports, but we're talking about it because these are the head coaches not talking about sports. And I guess this sort of highlights the challenge that this presents for so many people. You, yourself, myself, our crew here at ESPN, especially in the control room, our producers, like their families, we're all doing these jobs, a lot of times virtually with our families who are watching the news. And it is hard to process and digest. And I feel like, you know, Junior, especially now in this moment, it's going to be really unique to see how these players compartmentalize themselves and still go out and perform on the court.
Yeah. It's all bizarre and frustrating. Like, what are we supposed to do with all of this? Again, like, we get to sit around here and wait for these coaches to talk about this. These coaches have to try and go out here, and they're seeing this play on tape delay. Like, Doc Rivers has sounded exhausted over the course of a summer, and he brought up one of the points there that's the constant reminder. Like, again, I feel like we say these things, and you hope people listen, but you have no idea at this point if they hear. Like, he brought it up, like, think about Washington. This is happening in their backyard. Go back to this summer when the Bucks walked off the court after the shooting of Jacob Blake. Like, that happened in their backyard. These are all things happening in these communities. And so when people try and act like athletes need to be outside of these things, they still go out there. And Woj said, there are no plans for these games to be postponed. It looks and appears as if these games will be played. And eventually the Bucks and other teams came back and started playing again. They went about their job. So it's not an instance of someone saying, well, I've got to do my job no matter what, so why don't you in this spot? It's, well, they have a platform to be able to express these opinions if they so want to. But at the very least, you've got to recognize that, man, these people wake up and live in some of the same places that everyone else does, that are experiencing these things as part of the communities. So to act like they can go out here and be any more or less taken away from this or not dialed in on this and not watching and consuming this in real time is just a hilarious fool's errand that I hope this year, among the many bad things it's given us, I hope the one good thing that comes out on the other side is the realization that that was always a stupid thought.
Absolutely. And, you know, you started talking about the Milwaukee Bucks because that is exactly where the league pressed pause not too long ago. And there has been reporting on the Bucks since then. Malika Andrews posted the latest yesterday saying, after the Kenosha, Wisconsin County DA's decision not to bring charges against the officer who shot Jacob Blake, the Milwaukee Bucks issue this statement. And the statement goes as following: the Bucks organization remains firmly against excessive use of force by law enforcement. This past year shed light on the ongoing racial injustices facing our African-American and other marginalized marginalized communities. Recurring instances of excessive force of use and immediate escalation when engaging the Black community must stop. Again, this is the Bucks. While we just heard also reporting from Woj that they will continue to play, this just in a big picture highlights that, you know, we have a lot to work on in this country. And I know it's a difficult position for athletes to go and play and compartmentalize. But we are fortunate for the platforms that we have. It's not easy to be on here in front of mics when you have your own, you know, immediate feelings and emotions. But you're right, Junior. I think the way you ended it was 100% spot on. I firmly, genuinely believe that there's more good than bad, that there's more positive than there's negative. There's more hope than despair. But this is a moment where we see the despair, and hopefully we can see it and address it and be better for it moving forward.
Hey, hopefully we can, because again, I saw what exhaustion looked like on your face this summer, on the face of so many of our Black coworkers, colleagues, and friends with what went on this summer. And when you hear Doc Rivers say, I'm used to seeing the way that Black people are dealt with in this format and not seeing them dealt the same way now when it's a largely white group of people here, you can imagine more of that frustration bubbling to the surface. But again, now trying to continue to press on while they're dealing with a pandemic basketball season outside of the bubble, like the amount of crazy that a lot of these, you know, coaches, athletes, people in life are being asked to spin on plates right now is astounding. And so I hope everyone allows everyone who's reacting to this some grace and levity as they do so, because it's a lot to process in this entire situation. So sure, that won't be the last we hear from the world of sports and the athletes involved in it about what's going on right now in our nation's capital. Hell, I go on ESPN.com. And the number one headline on .com is live coverage of the breach of the U.S. Capitol that takes me to ABC Breaking News. So it's a different day around here, and I'm sure very different information going to continue to pour in to here. But coming up next, we will switch gears back to an announcement that we got yesterday in the world of the NFL. Some all-timers going to get their shot to join a very, very exclusive club. We'll get to that next. It's Janae Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Still waiting for brighter day. You have time, Cliff, to find it. We had a rough one today, but we are praying and hoping for brighter days. Thank you to the following family who came through for us. It's Janae Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. Janae Ogumike, Mike Golic Jr., we are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us via the Goodyear hotline. Now, the crew love that I'm talking about, and I'm not talking about Cliff. I'm talking about Aaron Schatz, who came through with Football Outsiders, who told us the team to beat in the NFL, and it's not the Kansas City Chiefs. Yeah, that's crazy, but it's okay. He's got the numbers to back it up. We talked to Kimberly Martin, our own ESPN NFL reporter, who told us what coach, you know, the Cleveland Browns coach Kevin Stefanski said is helping him coach through this moment virtually, you know, dealing with the Browns not having a head coach in their wild card game in their first round. And the story will actually take you to church, like literally, so stay tuned for that. And then we're still pinching ourselves because on this tough day, the energy started off right with Stone Cold Steve Austin. I mean, WWE Hall Famer, straight up Steve Austin, his USA Network show, you know, with so many great guests. He joined us. That's USA Network, I believe, 11 p.m. Eastern, that you can check it out starting on January 11th. He told us his favorite place to drink a beer, his favorite setting. And so I say all of that as we keep that same energy. We can play it in a second clip, but first, let me get this answer from you. Junior, as an avid beer drinker, I'm assuming, I haven't seen you. We haven't even like turned up like that because we're in two different locations.
Fair point.
Where's your favorite, like, what's your beer nirvana?
Yeah, I've thought a lot about this one, Chinee, because as we talked about with Stone Cold, there's a lot of different kinds of beers out there in the world. There's, you know, that beer when you get done cutting the lawn. There's a morning beer to start off your day if you know you're going to have one there. But I'm not going to lie, I think there are a few beers over my time on this earth that are as satisfying as a shower beer. Because it's that idea of, you know, you're about to have so much fun, you don't want to wait for it to start. You're going to get ready while you get ready. And taking it in there, it feels wrong, but you know it's so right.
Okay. I have to take a poll, but first, let's just keep that same energy because we have made it to the end of the show. Praise God.
We want to be a jolt of energy.
Yeah, the energy level was really high there.
And now we want to keep that same energy going.
Keeping that same energy.
Keep that same energy.
You could just sense that there was a tremendous amount of energy.
With Janae and Golic Jr.
We are Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Keep that same energy is brought to you by Indeed. Hiring, you need Indeed. Learn more at Indeed.com/credit. Now, I want to take a poll from everyone right now in our studio. Who has drank a beer in the shower? Everyone, I need to get your responses because, Junior, that's the first time I've heard of that. Actually.
You've never heard of a shower beer before?
No.
Oh, God. All right.
I've never done that. I can honestly say I've never done that. That's a bad John. I don't condone it.
That's a bad John, right?
Definitely a bad John, sis.
Listen, I wish I could rock with you, Junior, just because Sinead's getting on my nerves today, but I've never done it either. I'm sorry. I got to be honest.
I am
amazed. Wait, you haven't done it. Billy and Cliff, Ryan. Yup. No? Yes? Okay. Well, Shannon, nod. Yes or no? No.
No.
Shannon hasn't either. Shannon has not either.
Listen,
that's well.
I'm telling you, you can substitute it with wine, too. I actually saw they've got holders for a glass of wine in the shower that you can have there. Like, there's nothing separating you from this bit of freedom we can all enjoy.
It's a great thing. Sure, it feels good, but... Let's just be honest here. The two people that agreed and the four people that haven't done it. Let's just lay those out.
It's cultural. It's cultural.
There appears to be a fair amount of melanin missing from that beer, apparently. That seems to be what we're talking about.
I take phone calls in the shower, just regular phone calls. Calm down.
What?
People. What?
Yeah, like, okay, I'll put my phone on speaker and it'll be on the phone.
In the shower? But then the shower's running.
I do that too. Thank you, Billy.
And also, Cliff, you tried it. I heard you say really quick, because Nate's annoying me. Really, Cliff? Like, okay.
Man, I am blown away.
So you'll drink beer in a shower, but you won't bring your phone in, like, on a nice, safe stand? Like, these iPhones are all, like, apparently waterproof.
Listen,
or at least,
as soon as I step into the bathroom, Eric Cartman out of South Park said it, toilet time's the last bastion of American freedom that exists. So when I step into that bathroom, I am in here to enjoy myself, to separate from the trials and tribulations of the outside world, and bringing a beer into the shower is maybe the purest form of that good.
I'm just glad you shower. It might be cold. Yeah.
Also a fair point on that one. Everyone, shower regularly.
Sometimes we have to ask because it's cultural at times.
I don't know if it's that. Washcloths, yes, actually taking the shower.
Yes, washcloths. Loofahs.
Was blind, but now I see. Washcloths. Big
loofahs,
fan.
Baby.
I thank the locker room for teaching me the error of my ways on that one right there. Chinan Golick Jr. here on ESPN. Mike Golick Jr. Chinan Ogwumike with you guys. The Pro Football Hall of Fame announced its finalists for this 2021 class. Four players in their first year of eligibility are among the 15 finalists. Those four, Peyton Manning, Charles Woodson, Calvin Johnson, and Jared Allen. Now, as many as five finalists will be chosen later this month for enshrinement. But, Chinee, I think in that group right there, that looks like four first-ballot Hall of Famers. Jared Allen's the one that I maybe could be talked into having a tougher time getting on in the first ballot. But Peyton Manning, Charles Woodson, and Calvin Johnson, that feels like a slam dunk.
Look, I'm so excited for this. And, you know, it actually is taking me back. These Hall of Fame type of enshrinements, I love it because my favorite time is when I was at the Connecticut Sun. I know you know about Mohegan, right? You've been down to Mohegan. You've seen
I have
time.
Been down to Mohegan. Yes, I have.
The casino when I was back there.
Outstanding casino.
They had the Basketball Hall of Fame hosted at Mohegan, and so one of my favorite things was finishing my game and then going up to watch Hall of Fame. So anytime the classes get inducted, I always love it. And that's how I really started hanging out with Lisa Leslie. Subtle flex. Yeah.
There's nothing subtle about that. There's nothing subtle about
and
that
flex. And that's Uncle
Dikembe. Right,
I think he was inducted too in that same Hall of Fame. So I was like, oh, Uncle, hey, Auntie.
I can't stand how great you are at most everything. Speaking of greatness here, this is a cool moment
except
here.
Except for lyrics.
Which we'll get to. The Boston Red Sox announced Monday that they hired Bianca Smith, who's 29 years old, to be a minor league coach. She becomes the first black woman to coach in professional baseball. So, again, we know these milestones are probably long overdue, but still, there should be some celebration and some flowers for Bianca Smith here.
She said, quote, if people think it's just because I'm a woman, well, then I'll just go out there and prove them wrong. Keep that same energy, Bianca. Let's go.
There we go.
29-year-old. Love it.
I was going to say the age on that, too, to me is you know, one of the cool things as well, obviously being the first black woman to do so in this spot, but to also be at 29 years of age and to see a bright future developing there
is
incredible. Now, you mentioned lyrics earlier in the show. We played Stomp by Kurt Franklin coming back from one of the breaks, and Shanae, who was one to often sing on this show, decided she would try her hand on this one, and somehow, some way, the lyrics of a very well-known song escaped her. Here is Shanae.
I feel like... it's right on time. It's Chinan and Golick Jr. on ESPN Radio. Shout.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Streaming live on ESPN+.
Can you play Kirk? Can you play my song so at least we can
go right play my song right now? We need the Holy Ghost and all that, all the above. You find my song, Cliff, or no?
Couldn't find it. I didn't have enough time. We'll play it tomorrow.
It's too late for that, unfortunately, Janae.
No,
but
it's not.
Listen, you made up for it as best you could. We had a great show considering the circumstances right now. Again, everybody, stay safe, stay together, be well in all this one. Cliff, play that one more time on the way out.
No! Full music. I feel like
no,
it's right on time. It's Janae Angolik Jr. on ESPN Radio. Shout!
No! Yeah.
Streaming live.
Thanks for listening to Janae Angolik Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.